Look, I don't know what obstacle or struggle or trial you're facing right now, but I want to tell you, be bold, because God plus one equals a majority. Look, throughout the New Testament, to this day, if there's one word that marks how Christians share the gospel with the world and make their mark on this world that stuns and shocks people around them, it's this: boldness. Look, in the ancient world, you generally didn't speak boldly unless you were rich or powerful or really well-educated or you were royalty. So naturally, it was a shock when Jesus started preaching and everyone's response was, where did he get all this? I mean, isn't he the carpenter's son? In other words, let's check his credentials. Who trained this guy? What right does he have to be bold? And the shock continued in the early church, in the Acts of the Apostles, with the boldness of Peter and Paul, who share a solemnity, a church celebration every year, the Feast of St. Peter and Paul. And that's a good day, not just to remember them, but to remember boldness. Guys, I want you to think for a minute about the boldness, about the audacity of these men. Where did they get off? Who did they think they were? I mean, they were little people, and they grew up in a world dominated by the hugest empire the world had ever seen. An empire with an emperor at the head whose people literally regarded him as a god. And they knew intimately Rome's power, Rome's brutality. They had seen crucifixions and torturing. They knew what it was like to live under the iron fist of the emperor and the power of empire and the power of Nero. And after Pentecost Sunday, they received the Holy Spirit when they were faced with a decision to bring the gospel to the world. And where are we going to bring it? Guys, they could have gone anywhere. And I'll tell you what, any rational person would have decided to sail in the opposite direction from Rome, to get as far away as possible, maybe find a nice island somewhere and chill out in the Maldives and preach the gospel to the people there, drink some kava. But a sanctified person sometimes has a different logic than a, quote, sane person. So a scholar who loved his books and a fisherman, they decided to set sail for the heart of the empire whose oppression they lived under. You know what their logic was? Dude, Nero's a human. He isn't beyond saving. We can do this. We can make Rome Christian. But that boldness, that insane boldness, it animated all that they did. I love the story in Acts chapter 4 when Peter and John were preaching and they were brought before the judges of their time, the religious authorities that didn't like what they had to preach. And I'll tell you what, they knew that these are the same people that had Jesus put to death. Wouldn't a rational person say, I should probably not preach anywhere near these people? But hey, here we are. And they brought them in and asked the age-old question, by what power or what name do you do this? See, because they were preaching and they were healing. So this is from Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished. Another translation says amazed and disturbed. The boldness caught them off guard. It didn't make any sense. Acts 18, they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we can't help but speaking about what we've seen and heard. Dude, talk about boldness. The people that put Jesus on the cross, these are the people they're talking to. And Paul went almost beyond bold to a little more crazy. I love the story where he's in Caesarea Maritima. And I've been there many times on pilgrimage. Come with me someday. We'll put a link below this video to the pilgrimages that I lead. This is in the Holy Land. But he's jailed in Caesarea Maritima. And guys, there's an ambush of people, 40 men, waiting outside to kill him. So Rome brought in people to protect him from the Jewish people that wanted to kill him. And the violence was so great, the people wanted to kill him so bad, that this is what was required. Acts of the Apostles tells us that the Roman army had to bring in 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen. And make no mistake, they weren't protecting him because they loved him. They were protecting him for one reason. They wanted to be the ones that brought him on trial and got to kill him. Okay, cue the fear in any rational person. No, that's not what happened for Paul. You know what he was thinking? He was thinking, I have this king right where I want him. I have all these judges and this audience right where I want them. So in Acts 26, at this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul. Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus. And the scripture continues, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think in such a short time you could persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short or long, I pray to God that not only you, but everyone listening to me today could become what I am, except for these chains. Guys, in this story, you have Paul on a pulpit in his mind, even though he's on trial. Dude, talk about boldness. But that boldness that animated Peter and Paul, it was picked up. Their boldness inspired generations, picked up in the lives of the saints and echoed throughout the history of the church. And that boldness of Peter and Paul is echoed in every generation of followers of Jesus Christ. I just got back from a pilgrimage in Poland, remembering the witness and boldness of John Paul II, who had this weird, almost supernatural grin in the face of every evil this world could throw at him. And here he is in communist Poland as a bishop, a young bishop. And while he was bishop there, the communists, I mean, talk about a powerful empire. They built this town right next door to Krakow called Nowa Huta, New Town. It was to be the first town in Poland with no Catholic church. And the people lived there under communist oppression where they were constantly, their lives were on the line. They were being threatened. They were crushing the faith out of their culture. You know where he went as a young bishop to celebrate Christmas Mass in the snow with his people? No church, but just out there outside with them, right in Nowa Huta. Right with all the communists standing there with the machine guns in hand. He was bold. He knew that me plus God equals bigger than this entire empire trying to crush the faith out of my homeland. By the way, imagine how stoked those people were when they found out that that guy became the Pope. And 2 years later, he came back to his native land. 3 million Poles came out to greet him, chanting, "We want God." And a beautiful message he repeated again and again was this, "You are not who they say you are. Let me remind you of who you are." And people who remember the day, remember that all the dictators in charge of Poland at the time, oppressing the people there, were terrified. They knew that he had something bigger up his sleeve. He knew that with God on his side, he could actually topple communism in Eastern Europe. And guess what? He was right. Research this. It's worth diving into. Look up the Solidarity Movement. Google it. It was a huge part of bringing down the Iron Curtain in Eastern Europe without a shot being fired, all because of the faith movement that John Paul II was leading among his people. Where did they get all this? Where did this guy get this? He grew up as a young priest who studied at the Jagiellonian University in Poland. Where did Peter and Paul get all of this? Where did Jesus get all this? Is he not the carpenter's son? How about you? What do you feel called to? I got to tell you guys, whenever you feel called to something, the voices of the doubters will always arise just like they did around Jesus. Where does he get all this? You know, there's this great analogy in nature that if you want to go crabbing, you put your crabs in a bucket. You don't have to put a lid on the bucket because every time a crab tries to get out, right when it's at the top, one of his friends will grab him and pull him back down. Isn't that the world we live in sometimes? But we let those voices get inside of our heads. We feel called to do something great for God and we start suffering from imposter syndrome. They're going to call me out. Who am I to do this? You might suffer from fear of pursuing your dreams because what if they don't come to pass as I want to? You see all the obstacles in the way. Well, hint, hint, guys. Very often they don't pan out exactly as you want them to, and that's okay. But don't stare at those obstacles. Stare at the dream that you have because it's yours for a reason. You might suffer from staring at the obstacles when it comes to reconciling with somebody and you're afraid to bring up that conflict, or maybe stifling fear like so many have of sharing their faith and you feel called to share it, but what will people say? Who cares what people say? Guys, stop letting the obstacle stop you from going where God calls you to go. And it happens in every area of life. People don't discern a vocation. People don't get married because I'm not getting married because I'm not ready yet. They get married and I'm not having a kid because I'm not ready yet. Guys, I'm 49. I now have 5 grandkids. I still don't feel ready to get married and have kids. But God called me, so I went. My friends, be bold. How? How, Chris? Here's the key. and is the secret of Peter and Paul, of John Paul II, and of all the saints. I am convinced that they were aware that the presence of Almighty God was bigger than the presence of whatever was standing in their way. In their psyche, because they prayed, He, God, loomed bigger than the people who would be naysayers and try to pull them back down. My brothers and sisters, obstacles will come. They're gonna check your credentials. They're gonna question you, but who are they anyway? You know whose permission that you need to do what God calls you to do? His, and that's it. Every time you feel hit in the gut, dig deeper into prayer like the saints did. Breathe in Jesus, breathe out, you're with me. Breathe in Jesus, breathe out, you're all that I need, until that's bigger than the obstacle you're facing, because guess what, guys? It is. You plus God is bigger than any obstacle. Let's circle back to Peter and Paul. Look, any of their contemporaries would look at what they did and say, yeah, they were crazy. Rome won. Nero won. Their audacious mission failed. Paul lost his head. Peter was crucified on a cross upside down. You know, one of the last things Peter probably saw, Rome would collect artifacts from people they conquered. So there was a big obelisk from Egypt standing there in Rome. And as he hung upside down, he likely stared at that and saw it. He died seeing and feeling in his body, in his bones, in his wrist pierced with nails, the power of the empire. But in his last moments, I'm convinced, he saw what you can only see when you look at the world upside down from the point of view of grace. Things that, quote, sane people can't. They saw that at the end of the race they were running, because they stood with Jesus, they'd win. And guess what? They did. Rome eventually did become Christian. Within 300 years of their death, the emperor converted and Rome became Christendom. And Peter breathes his last looking at that obelisk, which now stands in the place where he died, which we call St. Peter's Square. And engraved at the base of that obelisk are the words Christus vincit, Christus regnat, Christus imperat. Christ conquers, Christ rules, Christ reigns. My brothers and sisters, when you stand with him, so do you. Be bold. Hey, listen, in honor of the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, I want to give you a gift. I created a 7-part series following the footsteps of St. Paul in Greece, where we looked at how he shared the faith and what made him effective, but more importantly, how in doing so and following his example, you can build a boldness in your soul, not just for sharing the faith, but for everything that you need to tackle in your life. The link is below this video, and it's free today. God bless you. Hope you enjoy it.